Hi, I'm Carl LaZeus. As we get started on Tuesday's edition of CNN 10, members of the U.S. House of Representatives are preparing for a vote on a $1.9 trillion bill intended to stimulate the U.S. economy. The House first approved the bill in late February, and it passed in the Senate last weekend. But that chamber made changes to the legislation. For one thing, it eliminated the bill's increase in the federal minimum wage, as political experts expected. So now, the House must vote on the legislation again before it can be sent to President Joe Biden's desk for his signature. This week's House vote is expected to go along party lines like it did in the Senate. Democrats are likely to vote for the bill, Republicans are likely to vote against it. Because Democrats control the House with the majority of seats there, the chamber's expected to pass the legislation. This would be the third major spending bill that the U.S. government has enacted to counteract the economic problems triggered by the coronavirus pandemic.
10-second trivia. The name of the Taliban, Afghanistan's former rulers, comes from what word? Students, base, supreme, or task? In Afghanistan's official language of Pashto, Taliban means students.
The Taliban gained power in Afghanistan in the 1990s. They're a Muslim fundamentalist group that worked to establish a strict interpretation of Islam in Afghanistan. They didn't allow TV, movies, or music, and they limited the education that girls could get or banned it altogether. After the September 11th terrorist attacks in 2001, the United States led a group of other countries in removing the Taliban from power. The Taliban had allowed Al-Qaeda terrorists to live and train in Afghanistan, and it refused to hand them over to America following the attacks. 20 years later, the Taliban remain a powerful force in the country, and scars remain from their rule in the 1990s.
A game of cricket underway with a few onlookers resting on rocky ground. A peaceful scene at the foot of a mountain with towering cutouts where two Buddha statues once stood, now filled with scaffolding and rubble. This man says he was here 20 years ago when Taliban forces who had taken control of the province over the course of a few weeks obliterated the statues as part of its campaign to destroy pre-Islamic artifacts they considered to be an assault on Islam.
We were going to the bazaar when the Taliban picked us up on the way and then took us to the Buddhas. There were around 45 other people, and the Taliban forced us all to carry the explosives. They told us to leave when the task was done, and then they detonated the Buddhas, and dust filled the entire valley.
The monuments had been part of the landscape of Bamiyan for about 1,500 years, surviving Genghis Khan and centuries of war. In March 2001, the Taliban relentlessly hacked away at them with tank fire and explosives until they were shattered.
We realized that nothing was left but an empty frame and an identity that had been destroyed. My feeling was that we had a historical artifact that had been turned into such a miserable state.
In the 2 decades since their destruction, some have tried to recreate the likenesses through technology. But to the people of Bamiyan, it is a towering loss of a piece of history, reduced to boulders, dust, and memories.
We first reported on Linda Doughty a year ago. She's a CNN hero who helps rescue harbor seals in Maine. She started her own conservation group after others she worked with closed down because they lost funding. Despite the shutdowns made when the coronavirus pandemic hit, Doughty's organization expanded and it was allowed to stay open, keeping up its good work.
Releasing a seal is really bittersweet. And as much as I'm excited to see that animal be released, it's also hard in the sense of seeing that animal now gone. Growing up on the coast of Maine, I was exposed to marine mammals and wildlife in general. Since our local area is really surrounded by water, we do a lot of things on the ocean. You'd see seals doing their thing, and I just remember being so amazed. What I love about seals is they really look similar to dogs, and they also are really charismatic. It's really neat to see them in their natural environment, and they're very curious in general. These animals are special to me, so I ended up becoming a marine biologist. I would say the biggest threat to these animals is human impacts. We may have an animal that may have been entangled or hit by a boat or injured from a prop wound. With the increase in human activity on beaches, these animals don't get time to rest and regain their energy. Taking selfies with seals can actually cause a lot of stress and harm for that animal. When harbor seal pups are born, they stay with their mom for about 4 weeks. Mom usually goes off to forage for food and then come back again. If there's any human involvement, there's people that are around that pup or pick up and move that pup, the mom may not come back. And once that abandonment occurs, that seal pup is not going to survive. Over the years, nonprofits and state agencies for marine mammal response and rescue either closed down or lost funding. And that's where I decided we're going to help. Good morning, Miss 264. Our organization runs a 24-hour reporting hotline for marine mammal strandings.
184 is currently the one that's upside down.
We cover approximately 2,500 miles along the coast of Maine. Most of the animals that we respond to is about 90% seals. We only intervene if needed. When an animal comes into our center, we usually take blood, start an IV, and get a whole kind of diagnostics of what the animal's dealing with, and then come up with a medical plan.
So he's on fluid therapy for today to try to break up some of this pneumonia that he has.
I have attended every release because once you bring an animal into your center, I feel 100% responsibility for that animal.
Oh, you're so adorable.
You want to see that animal be released because it's start to finish of that animal's story.
I just want to welcome you to our seal release today. We have two harbor seals that we will be releasing. Both these animals came in really underweight and emaciated. They're feeling fat and happy today, which is what we like. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's been now 20 years that I've been doing this, which seems like I just started yesterday.
Aww.
And the feeling has not changed for me. I love it now more than ever. I can't imagine there not being a place in the state of Maine for these animals to have a chance to be cared for. And I will do that as long as I can.
Yay!
I feel this intense responsibility to help these animals, and really this is what I was put on this earth to do.
So back in the day, like the 1600s, letters were sometimes locked. They were intricately folded and sealed to become their own envelopes. Hundreds of these locked letters that couldn't be delivered between 1689 and 1706 were stored in a postmaster's trunk in the Netherlands. They were given to a museum in 1926, and conservators didn't want to open and potentially damage them. But X-ray scanners and computer algorithms were recently used to extract a letter's words without actually unfolding the document. It revealed a request from one cousin to another for the death certificate of a relative. Researchers don't know why it wasn't delivered, but it's a new glimpse into the daily lives of people who lived ages ago. Makes you wonder what the others contain. Maybe an unpatented patent that's now a patent mystery. Maybe an ungranted grant that would have granted rights to the letter. How many documents remained locuments? How many settlements remained unsettled? Did a pact get packed before it could ever make an impact? Did star-crossed lovers never get to envelope? These mysteries can now unfold. Benton High School in Benton, Louisiana, hello, and thank you for your comment on our YouTube channel. I'm Coral Azuz for CNN.